The MGM Theater of the Air. Our star this week, Rex Harrison. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Vice President of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, and celebrated writer of many Broadway and Hollywood musical hits, Mr. Howard Dietz.
Thank you. We feel that the next hour will be entertaining to those who like suspense, romance, and action. People who don't like these things shouldn't listen. Our story is an adaptation of an MGM hit, Crossroads. The plot ranges from the Paris underworld to the higher world of the French Foreign Office. Our star is the distinguished Rex Harrison. He plays a young French diplomat who might also be mistaken for a more doubtful character. As the phrase goes, is he man or monster? In one moment now, Rex Harrison will appear in Crossroads. Of Crossroads is a somewhat different version of the Eternal Triangle. Usually, this triangle is two men and a woman, or two women and a man. In this case, however, there's a woman, a man, and the strange and secret past of that same man, his alter ego, so to speak, which becomes the most important character in the play. We take you to Paris, the Paris of 1935, pre-war. Walking along the Champs-Élysées on his way home is David Talbot, considered extremely brilliant by all his colleagues in the French Foreign Office.
Good evening, Monsieur Talbot.
François? You didn't even give me a chance to ring.
Madame saw to that, sir.
Hmm?
She was waiting at the drawing room window, saw you walking down the avenue.
Ah, tell me, François, how is she?
As lovely as ever, sir.
Yes, yes, tell me more.
As happy as when you left this morning, sir.
Yes?
And, if possible, even more in love.
Ah. François, our country is about to confer quite an honor on me.
Yes, sir.
And if I get it, remind me to give you a raise. I must tell Madame.
Oh, sir, a letter came for you today, brought by a rather strange man and...
Oh, not now, François.
Oh, very well, sir. I gave it to Madame.
David, darling.
Lucienne?
What?
I was thinking all day about how wonderful it is to be in love with a married woman. Particularly since the woman is married to me.
Oh, you are silly. Kiss me.
Really, it's criminal for a man to have to work when his honeymoon's barely over.
But, darling, you're so important. Did you miss me today?
I thought of you every minute.
What did you think?
Well, to be honest, I suppose I was selfish. I was really thinking of myself.
Tell me.
Well, I thought, here am I, a nobody.
Not only selfish, but dishonest. You're very much a somebody.
Just a few years ago, I was an obscure government clerk. My darling, you're married to a fortune hunter.
Everybody says you'll be Minister of Foreign Affairs one day. Perhaps even President of France.
Oh, I don't aim quite that high. But I do know a secret.
I knew you were holding something back, tell me.
That I'm soon to be offered...
What you dreamed of, an ambassadorship.
Correct. Ambassador to Brazil. There. How's that?
Oh, I'm so happy for you, David. So happy for both of us.
We are lucky. Terribly lucky. We have position, a bright future, not a worry in the world.
Dinner is served, madame.
We'll be right in, François.
Yes, I'm starved.
Excuse me, sir, but that letter I mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps I did wrong when the man delivered it. Perhaps I should have called the police.
François, what do you mean?
Well, something he said, madame. I'd not like to repeat it.
Oh, nonsense. What did this strange fellow say?
As he handed me the letter, sir, he said, "How do you like being butler to a criminal?"
David, have you been speeding again?
No, that was when I was a bachelor. Just forget the letter, François.
Yes, sir.
And you can serve the first course.
Very well, madame.
Now then, would madame do me the honor of having dinner with me?
Oh, you men, you have no curiosity at all.
I'm terribly curious about what's for dinner. I'm starved.
But the letter, darling, there on the table.
Oh, yes, yes. Oh, fellow has atrocious taste in stationery, hasn't he? Obviously from a political enemy or a crackpot, but we'll see. Hmm. Well.
David, you seem puzzled.
Well, mystified is the word, my dear. Listen to this. It starts out, Dear Jean.
But, David, the letter isn't meant for you.
No, the envelope's addressed to me, you see. David Talbot.
Well, read it.
Well, it says, Dear Jean, allow an old friend to congratulate you on your noble career. Accept my good wishes for a happy life with your rich bride. You are now able to pay me that old debt of 1,000,000 francs.
1,000,000 francs?
May I suggest that you deliver the money at noon tomorrow to the abandoned park in Volney Street. Throw it over the hedge near the boarded-up gate. I'm sure you will understand the reason for these exotic instructions and the reason why this letter must remain unsigned. Well.
But, darling, what does it mean?
I haven't the foggiest notion.
What are you going to do?
Do? Well, first I shall have dinner. I'm sure it'll be a good one, and then naturally I'll call the police.
There, just ahead, David, the boarded up gate.
Well, I see, but please, won't you wait here?
No.
Well, something might go wrong.
And if it does, I want to be with you.
All right, you're a willful, headstrong, unruly wife.
We're almost at the gate. Is the packet ready?
Yes, ready.
Here we are. Toss it.
Over the hedge there. Now stand by me, darling, and wait.
There he is. Get him. Here he is. I've got him.
All right, men, don't hurt him. Now bring him out so Monsieur Talbot can see him.
Excellent work, commissaire. I'll see that you get commendation.
Thank you, sir. Now, there's the rascal. Do you know him?
Never laid eyes on him before.
There was a time when you knew me well enough.
All right, fellow, what have you got to say?
Nothing here.
You'll either talk now or at the trial.
I'll talk at the trial where all of France can hear.
Very well, if you will.
Commissaire, I don't think a trial will be necessary.
Oh, David, if you let him go, he might come back and try to hurt you.
And after all, sir, attempted extortion...
I don't think it's attempted extortion. You see, although I have a rather high position in the Foreign Office, anyone who knows me knows I haven't got 1,000,000 francs. The idea's ridiculous.
You married a rich wife, didn't you, Jean?
Oh, there, Commissaire. The man also thinks my name is Jean. I, instead of a judge, I think this man should be taken to a doctor.
All right, Monsieur Talbot, if you say so.
One moment, all of you.
Hey there, fellow. What?
My name is Carlos Leduc. I am a citizen of France, and I know my rights. I insist on a hearing in court.
But Monsieur Talbot is only trying to help you.
Oh, so he would like you and his rich bride to think. Eh, Jean?
My name is not Jean. I haven't the slightest idea what you're talking about.
Well, then I shall be happy to explain it in court, my dear Jean.
I tell you my name is not Jean.
Oh, no, no, not anymore. Now you are a high and mighty official of the Foreign Office. And your name is David Talbot, you say.
David, what does he mean?
Oh, he's mad, obviously.
I mean, madame, that you are married to a stranger.
Oh, no.
But yes. And when I get into court, I will be happy to tell you and all France your husband's real name.
Of the state versus Carlos Leduc. Carlos Leduc, stand and make your presence known.
I am Carlos Leduc, present and ready for trial.
Be seated. Is the chief witness for the state present, Monsieur David Talbot of the Foreign Office?
I'm here, Your Honor.
Ah, yes. We can proceed in one moment, as soon as I have read the particulars of the complaint.
Did you see the old fox smile over here at me?
Yes, and if you smile back, I should call it tampering with the court.
He was one of Father's oldest friends. David?
Yes, sir?
You're not worried, are you?
I? Why should I be?
I don't know.
My dear, you sound as if it was I was on trial, not the Duke.
Oh, I suppose I am silly, but I'm afraid.
Afraid of what?
Well, there is that part of your past that you don't remember, and... Oh.
Well, Dr. Tessier assures me that I have no reason to worry about that.
Oh, I see Dr. Tessier in court.
I asked him to be here in case anybody started poking into my dark and mysterious past, but really, my dear...
There are some most unusual aspects in this case. There is even the possibility that the reputation of a high servant of the state might be needlessly damaged.
David, did you hear that?
No, please, dear, don't worry.
In order to minimize that possibility, I have decided to conduct these proceedings somewhat in the manner of an informal examination before trial, and so order it for court record.
David, what does he mean?
He means he'll ask all the questions instead of the attorneys.
Carlos Leduc, you are accused of writing to David Talbot an anonymous letter in which you demand payment of a debt in the amount of 1,000,000 francs. The charge, therefore, is extortion. How do you plead?
I am not guilty, Your Honor, as Monsieur Talbot well knows. The letter I wrote was a straightforward request for money owed to me.
You are contending, I presume, that there is nothing unusual in demanding that a debt be paid by throwing money over a lonely park wall? I assure you, my creditors are not so imaginative.
Perhaps they would be, sir, if you were living under an assumed name and they were considerate enough to help you keep your deception a secret.
Order! Order! Court would like to know to whom you refer as living under an assumed name.
Sir, if you will permit me to tell my story, I think I can make it quite clear.
Very well, Leduc. Your story.
I first met the gentleman sitting there with his wife, this Monsieur David Talbot, more than 10 years ago when each of us was in our early 20s. Only then he was not Monsieur David Talbot. Then he was Jean Pelletier, a petty crook and cutthroat.
That is not true. That's a lie.
Lucien, I mean Madame Talbot, please.
Please, darling, the man's ranting.
I'm sorry, David. I can't have that.
Proceed, Leduc.
Pelletier had a list of crimes as long as a bell rope, but one talent he had. He always escaped from the police.
Your Honor, if I may.
Yes, Monsieur Talbot.
This defendant, Leduc, is charged with extortion, and I am a witness against him. I fail to see what some completely imaginary person named Jean Pelletier has to do with the case.
I'm sorry, Monsieur Talbot.
But the man is talking nonsense.
That is what we're here to find out. For your sake,
but
I hope...
But I assure you...
Please, Monsieur Talbot. As an honored and respected official of the state, you will be shown every courtesy in the power of this court. But
I'm not asking for special treatment, but this man is mad.
So perhaps we can discover his madness. If, however, he can prove an earlier relationship with you, even under another name, he can show the possibility that a debt between you actually exists. I am sure you understand that in simple justice he has a right to state his case.
Although I'm the one to suffer, Your Honor, I concede that you are right.
Let us hope your suffering will only be temporary. Proceed, Leduc.
It was in 1925 that Jean Pelletier, the crook and cutthroat, came to owe me 1,000,000 francs.
And what was the nature of this debt?
Oh, there was nothing dark about it. I am not at liberty to explain the details, but perhaps Monsieur Talbot would like to do so.
Your comment, Monsieur Talbot?
Same as before, the man is raving.
Continue, Leduc.
Years passed, and I never heard of Jean Pelletier. He disappeared. Then one day, a month or so ago, I saw his picture in the press. He had married Lucienne de Couville. Aha, I said. My old friend Jean Pelletier has gone up in the world. Not only that, the sly rascal has changed his name to David Talbot.
Enough of your dramatics, Leduc. Your story.
Yes, Your Honor, yes. Well, I had no wish to spoil his game, whatever it was. I only wanted my 1,000,000 francs. I wrote and asked for it, and my answer was a knife in the bag.
And just when and where, Leduc, do you claim you last saw Monsieur Talbot? Do you know that?
Distinctly, Your Honor. I last saw Monsieur Pelletier Talbot on the night of March 25th, 1927, in the railway station at Marseille. I was there to see him off on a trip to Paris.
That is all?
That is all.
Very well. Monsieur Talbot... Do you know where you were on the night of March 25th, 1927?
In a general way, yes.
And?
I have reason to believe I was aboard the Paris-Marseille Express.
And was the man Leduc at the station to see you off?
He was not. I've never seen the man before, as far as I know, but...
Yes, yes.
Well,
Monet, you're being cruel, unreasonable.
Madam Talbot... Your father was my good friend, but there are no personalities in this court. You will please...
But the story of what happened to my husband that night is well known. It's been written up by every paper in Paris many times, and you know it.
Another disturbance, madame, and most regrettably, I shall have you removed from the court.
Your Honor, my wife is right. I am not the person to tell you about that night. Dr. Franz Tessier is in court, and...
Very well. Not in order, but I shall permit it. Dr. Franz Tessier.
Here, and I'll be happy to testify for David Talbot. There. My reputation for truth is rather well known, but would you like me to swear on a stack of Bibles?
This is an informal examination. Just tell your story. Later, you will be asked to attest the record.
Very well. On the night of March 25th, 1927, there was a wreck on the Paris-Marseille Express. An open switch. Many people were killed and others injured.
It is a very famous wreck and the details are known. The issue here is Monsieur Talbot.
Correct. I have a hospital at Avignon, and I was one of the doctors called to the scene. One of the persons I attended was this same David Talbot. Now I'm happy to say my very good friend, as is his lovely wife.
The extent of Monsieur Talbot's injuries?
The right side of David's head had been mashed in like a dropped egg. He was very strong, and I managed to repair all his injuries, with one exception.
Yes, Dr. Tessier?
He has never been able to recall any of his past before the wreck. None whatever.
Thank you, Dr. Tessier.
But, Your Honor, that story about me is known to everybody. This man, Leduc, is using it as a springboard for blackmail and...
One moment, Mr. Talbot. The fact is that you cannot deny Leduc's story.
But I was positively identified as David Talbot after the wreck.
By whom, please?
By the Swedish ship captain who brought me to Marseille from Fort de France, Martinique.
Is the captain in court?
Unfortunately, he died some years ago, but Dr. Tessier was present at the identification and...
I see. Presumably, you were a native of Fort de France, or were known there. Did you check that possibility?
Well, I did just before my marriage. I thought I should have positive proof and...
And you found it?
You
were known in Fort de France?
No. No, I was not known in Fort de France, and there was no family there by the name of Talbot.
This is, rather grave, Monsieur Talbot. On the other hand, the Duke has no proof that you are Jean Pelletier.
Is that all, Your Honor? May I go?
The police have one other listed witness, Michel Alain. Michel Alain?
Here, Your Honor.
Step here to the bench, if you please. There. Do you recognize the man standing before you? Well, do you recognize him? Oh. Well?
Leon, darling, I'm sorry to have to do this.
You know him?
Yes, Your Honor. He is Jean Pelletier.
Madame, you are mistaken.
I'd never have told Jean, really.
Mademoiselle Alain. In your dossier as a witness, you are listed as a singer at the Club Serene here in Paris.
That is correct.
And you claim to have known David Talbot as Jean Pelletier in Marseille, where you were friendly with him years ago.
Yes, before the train wreck. We were more than friends. Oh, I'm sure Jean had some good reason for changing his name. And I'm glad he's gone up in the world, even that he's married so well.
Just answer the question, please. Now... Could you describe some identifying mark about Monsieur Talbot? Some scar or blemish or...
No. Wait, yes.
Well?
I remember that he always wrote with his left hand.
Your Honor, this woman is a fraud, a liar, a cheat, a swindler.
Dr. Tessier. This hearing is informal, but this is still a court of law, and you will respect it as such.
But this woman is a liar, and I can prove it.
Very well. I will hear you. Step down, Mademoiselle Aline. Well, Dr. Tessier?
You heard me testify that David's entire right side was crushed?
I did.
Until that train wreck, David was right-handed. Clearly, that woman was lying when she said David wrote always with his left hand. I know because it took me more than a year to teach him to write with his left hand.
Pardon me, Your Honor, but this note seems to have a bearing on the case.
One moment. Yes. Is Monsieur Henri Saru in court?
Yeah, Your Honor.
Step forward, please.
This way, sir.
You are Henri Saru, the man who wrote this note?
I am, Your Honor.
And you say you have documentary evidence pertaining to this case?
I believe I have.
We shall see. Now, what brings you to this court?
There has been some mention of this case in the... I believe you call them scandal sheets.
Well?
One story reported that the Foreign Office official, David Talbot, was in reality the cutthroat Jean Pelletier, and that name excited my interest.
Tell the court why, Monsieur Saru.
As a wine salesman, I travel for my firm in Africa. About 4 years ago, I became ill and was taken to a hospital in Sidi Belabez. In the bed next to me lay a man dying of fever. I was nice to the fellow, and he told me his name and the story of his life.
Yes, Monsieur Sarou, go on.
Well, it was a pathetic story. Bad friends, a woman, thievery, the usual road down. 2 nights later, he died.
But in this note, you refer to documentary evidence.
Yes, I have the evidence here. I have in my pocket his papers, which the dying man gave to me. His name was Jean Pelletier.
Oh, David, I was so frightened. And now it's all over.
I told you there was nothing to fear.
Oh, I was afraid I'd lose you. I was afraid we'd never have another of these quiet evenings at home. Just the two of us.
We'll spend a lot of evenings together all the rest of our lives. But we'll have to speak Portuguese, you know, and I'm an ambassador.
Excuse me, but...
Yes, François?
There is a gentleman here, a Monsieur Henri Sarou.
Oh, David, the man at the trial. Oh, dear, and I'm in my dressing room.
I'll keep him here until you change.
I'll be back at once. I want to thank Monsieur Sarou in person.
Show him in, François.
Yes, sir. This way, sir.
Monsieur Sarou.
I am not intruding.
Indeed you're not. We looked for you after the trial, tried to find your number in the phone book.
Fortunately, I knew where to find you.
Oh, I'm so glad you came. My wife will be here in a moment.
Then we are alone.
Alone?
Yes, I mean to say, may I speak freely?
My dear sir, after what you did for me today, there's nothing you can't say to me, nothing.
Good. Well, then I'll say this. I admire your colossal nerve. I really do.
What?
Now, don't act surprised, you double-crossing swine, because you're going to pay me that 1,000,000 francs as sure as your name is Jean Pelletier.
In just a moment, you'll hear more of the thrilling story, Crossroads. Now for Act Two of the MGM Theater of the Air, starring Rex Harrison. The young French diplomat, David Talbot, stands face to face with a symbol of a haunting past. David is talking to Henri Sarou.
If you really believe me to be Jean Pelletier, Monsieur Sarou, why did you testify as you did in court?
Well, that was all carefully planned, of course. We wanted to show you that we wouldn't hesitate to turn you over to the law if it became necessary.
Turn me over to the law? For what?
Oh, come now, Talbot, as you now call yourself. Don't try to fence with me. For instance, today in court, when Judge Monet asked you where you were on March 25th, 1927...
Yes?
What would you have said if he'd asked you where you were on the morning of that day?
Well, how could I answer? I have no memory of anything before the train wreck.
Oh, of course. You've lost your memory. But I haven't. It happens that I spent that morning with my good friend, Jean Pelletier, with you.
And you claim I did something illegal, is that it?
Well, slightly illegal, yes. It was cold that March morning, and the old bank messenger had on earmuffs. You remember?
Go on, Sarou.
The old man didn't know that his cab driver was our good friend, Leduc. And when Leduc pretended to break down in the alley, he suspected nothing. And, of course, you and I, we were waiting in the alley.
And I suppose you claim we robbed the old man.
Ah, now you're beginning to remember.
No, nothing of the sort.
You don't remember that the old man surprised us by putting up a fight? You don't remember putting 3 bullets into his head, running off with a 2,000,000 francs while Leduc and I decoyed the police?
Excuse me a moment, Sarou.
Certainly.
Get me the commissaire of police at once.
You probably don't even remember that your rusty old pistol backfired and caused a phosphorus burn at the base of your right thumb. You had it bandaged when you got on the Marseille-Paris Express that night.
Oh. No, it was a mistake, Commissaire. Never mind.
Aha. You see the scar. I thought you would.
I'm going to tell you, once and for all, Saru, that I will not...
Please, don't say it now. I have to leave now.
Good, and don't come back.
Oh, we'll be in touch with you, and soon. Meanwhile, you think of things like the guillotine or a million francs. Good night, Monsieur David Talbot.
Really, David, I'm disappointed in this report of yours.
I'm sorry, sir. I've always tried to do good work.
Yes, you always have. The brightest mind in my ministry.
Let me try the report again, sir.
By all means. I want my next ambassador to Brazil to have a better grasp of the situation he'll have to face. Worried about something, perhaps?
No, sir, really.
A lady to see you, Mr. Talbot.
Ah, perhaps a lady.
Oh, you know me better than that, sir.
I was jesting, of course. If we French husbands lived up to our reputations, we'd be in hot water all the time.
Monsieur Talbot, are you there?
Let her in, David. I'll go out this back way.
Mademoiselle Michel Alain, Monsieur Talbot.
No.
Oh, perhaps a lady after all. Well, I'll go along.
Ask her to come in, Miss Laval.
Jean, darling, can you ever forgive me?
What do you want of me?
Oh, Jean, please. I'm not made of stone, you know. And yesterday at the trial, you looked into my eyes as if I were a stranger.
You are a stranger.
Please don't. You're spinning at the top, and I'm glad. I can understand you not wanting to remember, but, well, I don't want to forget.
I repeat, what do you want of me?
What do I want of you? Darling, nothing. I simply came here to warn you against Saru.
Well, you can warn Saru for me when you go back to him. If either of you even so much as phone me again, I shall call for the police.
Well, Saru was right. You're not the generous, open-hearted Jean Pelletier anymore. You've changed. I know. It's that wife.
Don't dare mention my wife.
Now, Jean, you've made me angry, and you ought to remember how dangerous it is. Believe me, darling, I could tell your wife many things about you that she doesn't know. Shall I?
If that's a threat, you're wasting your time. I shall tell my wife every lying, blackmailing...
Blackmailing? Jean, are you trying to deny that you and I were, well, what we used to be to each other?
I never set eyes on you until you stood up in that courtroom.
Oh, no. Now, then look here. Look at this. Look at this lot. Here, look at it. Your picture and mine, with our arms around each other. Do you still deny that we were, to say the least, good friend? This is your picture, John.
Oh, yes.
So perhaps you will change your tone, yes?
To get rid of you, will you? I'll give you 50,000 francs.
Oh, no, Jerry. You're talking about cabbage. We're talking about caviar.
50,000 francs is all I have. It's all I'll pay.
Your wife has money. Much money.
I'd never touch a sou of her money.
Oh, you have changed, darling. But there is another place you can get money.
There is no other place.
Over there in the corner of your office, John. There is the big safe.
There's no money in that safe.
Fortunately, I know better. Oh, the government provides you with money to pay secret agents who gather information for France abroad. You need account to no one for the way you spend that money. And always in that safe... there is between 1 and 5 million francs.
I would rather die before I betray France.
Perhaps you will die, darling. Saru got you out of that courtroom, and he can get you back in. Before he does, I think you'd be wise to provide for the ones you leave behind.
My wife has her own fortune.
Oh, I'm not speaking of your wife. But when you go into court charged with murder... I think a jury would rather dislike you when they find the way you've treated your mother.
Who?
Your mother. Frenchmen don't like a man who lives in luxury when his old mother is a pauper.
What do you mean?
Go to 19 Rue Blanchot and see a ghost.
Pardon me, sir.
Oh, a gendarme, yes?
I thought it better to warn you, sir.
Warn me? Warn me of what?
Please don't be alarmed. I only meant that this is, a bad neighborhood for one who dresses so well.
You kind of mind your own business.
Well, pardon me.
Oh, excuse me. I'm looking for Madame...
It's you. Oh, no. No, you shouldn't have come here.
Madame, may I come in?
I saw your picture in the paper, your wedding picture. And for days I cried.
Tell me, please, do you know me?
Yes, I know you.
Then tell me, who am I?
You're the great official of the Foreign Office, Monsieur David Talbot, of course.
And how is it that you happen to know me?
As I told you, I saw your picture in the paper when you were married. And I followed the story of the trial, too. Oh, I was so relieved when it was over.
Tell me, am I your son?
Are you Oh, no. No, no. My son was a criminal and he's dead. No, you're not my son.
You'd swear to that.
Why should you bedevil a poor old woman? I tell you, my son is dead. Go away. Don't come back here again.
Madame, was your son, was he like me?
No, nothing at all like you. Please, leave me alone.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, even at his worst, though, my son wasn't really bad. A mother would know that. He was just gay and careless. Yes, careless. I remember as a boy how I couldn't get him to keep his shoes tied. He was just careless, not bad.
Madame, you're in need. May I help you?
No. Oh, please, you must go.
Wouldn't you let me?
Go, please, go. After the trial, there was gossip. You mustn't be seen here.
Oh, God keep you, Madame, and your son.
Goodbye, Monsieur Talbot. One thing.
Yes?
I wouldn't want you to trip and fall. When you get outside, tie your left shoe.
David, is that you?
Yes, Lucien. I hoped you'd be asleep.
I couldn't sleep with you away. Come and sit on the bed beside me.
Well, darling, you're worried about me.
Yes, David. And so is Dr. Tessier. He's your friend, you know. And today we had a long talk about you.
Yes?
Yes. We decided some things about you.
Would you like to tell me?
Yes, David.
Well?
We both know you've been terribly worried since the trial.
I'm sorry. I hoped you wouldn't notice.
I talked to your secretary, Miss Laval.
Yes?
She told me Monsieur Sarou had been to see you. And also Michel Alain.
And what did you and Dr. Tessier decide about all that, my dear?
Both of us together are rather smart, you know. We decided that Monsieur Sarou and Madame Alain have some kind of hold over you.
Darling, I assure you there's nothing to worry about, really.
So Dr. Tessier and I decided this hold they have over you must be one of two things. Either they're demanding money as payment for their testimony...
Well, believe me, darling, that's all wrong.
Or they can prove that you really are Jean Pelletier.
Oh, my dear, you and the good doctor have become quite melodramatic.
And I said to Dr. Tessier, David... Even if you are Jean Pelletier, I'd love you just the same. Will you remember that?
As always, my darling, and forever. And now, will you remember something?
Yes, David.
As far as I know, I have never done anything deliberately wrong.
I believe you, darling.
Whatever I may do in the future, I'll think first of you. Now, go to sleep, dear.
But, David, aren't you coming to bed?
No, I'm sorry. There's a Foreign Office appointment I must keep. An agent just in from Brazil. Good night, dear.
Yes, monsieur, here you are.
Everything in order?
Everything, monsieur.
You take off from Le Bourget at 11:15. You arrive at Istanbul at 12 noon tomorrow. After a three-hour stop over there, you will continue via Bombay and Calcutta. You have your passport this time?
Yes, I just went home to get it.
Then, monsieur, a happy landing in Saigon. Arthur, may I help you?
No, thank you.
Saru?
As you see, mademoiselle, I am here to see my friend off to Saigon. Hey, Jean?
I should have known you'd have me watched.
But of course. Come over here where we can talk. Now, this is better.
Well, Saru? Your time's about up, Jean. In fact, this is your last chance. You ought to be at this address tomorrow night at 9 with 1,000,000 francs. That gives you tomorrow to get the money, and where you get it is your own affair.
And if I'm not there with the money?
If you're not there, on the stroke of 9, the police will arrest you for murder. Go back home now and tell your wife you decided not to run away after all.
We'll return and clear up the suspense of Crossroads in just a moment. Now, Act 3 of the MGM Theater of the Air, starring Rex Harrison. The time limit has just about run out for David Talbot. He must pay 1,000,000 francs or face a charge of murder. At the moment, we are in the flat of Michelle Elaine, a rather gaudy abode over the Club CRM. With Michelle is a woman, obviously an actress, for there are still traces of footlight makeup on her face.
Yvette, stop that drinking.
I deserve a drink. Plenty of drinks after the act I put on. Oh, I tell you, I was superb.
You don't think he suspected?
Suspected? He knew. He went away from there knowing that he'd found his long-lost mother.
You're sure?
Of course I'm sure. Why don't you have a drink with me and stop that worrying?
Oh, if you had any sense, you'd be worried too.
One moment, madame. You forget that you're not a partner in this venture as I am. You're merely hired to do your part.
I'm sorry I spoke sharply. I'm worried. I wish I knew when Saru would come.
Oh, Saru will be here. And so will Monsieur David Talbot. Oh, what an act. And that business of the shoe. I noticed as he came in that one of his shoes was untied, and I built it into a superb act. That was the final straw. Then he knew I was his mother. Oh, if I'd only stayed on the stage instead of marrying that fool, Le Duc.
There. You see, we've lost.
Nothing of the sort.
But it's 9 o'clock and he hasn't come. I'm getting out of here.
Stay where you are, you fool.
I tell you, I'm afraid something's gone wrong.
Saru would have told us if... Wait.
Saru, what's wrong?
Nothing is wrong.
There, you cowardly fool.
But Talbot hasn't come, and these things must be done quickly to succeed.
Oh, you milksop.
Michelle is right, Yvette.
But you said nothing was wrong.
That's correct, but it would only have been a matter of time before Talbot got on to us.
Where is he?
He'll be here in a matter of minutes. I telephoned him. He was delayed by getting out of a state dinner he was supposed to attend with his wife. Oh, he'll be here.
With the cash?
Well, he'd better have the cash. Yvette, take that bottle out of here and pack our things. Soon now, we'll be headed for the border.
Excuse me, madame.
Yes, François.
About the message I was to take to Madame Duval.
You were to tell her that Monsieur Talbot and I cannot come tonight. That Monsieur Talbot is working at the Foreign Ministry with Monsieur Martin.
Yes, madame, but...
You did tell her?
No, madame.
But why not?
she would have known that Monsieur Talbot was not working at the ministry with Monsieur Martin. Monsieur Martin was at Madame de Val's.
Oh, Francois, something is wrong, terribly wrong.
I have known Madame for some time.
Tonight, when Monsieur Talbot was combing his hair, for instance, he stopped and looked at himself in the mirror for what seemed like hours, simply standing there staring. I thought I'd scream.
Madame, is there any way I can help?
I don't know. I have no address for Saru. I wouldn't know where to find him. Michel Alain. Michel Alain sings at the Club Sirene.
Yes, madame.
Get the car, Francois. We'll go to the Club Sirene and watch and hope. There, Francois. Just ahead.
I see it, madame. The Club Sirene.
Not too close to the entrance. We mustn't be seen.
That's why I'm getting behind this car, madame. There.
If Monsieur Talbot comes by, he mustn't see us. I wouldn't want him to know we were watching him.
Of course, madame. You trust your husband, and so do I.
I love him, Francois. I want to help him.
Correct, madame. And so do I. This Mademoiselle Alain.
Yes?
You say she lives above this club?
That's what she said. That's all I know.
If madame will lean a little closer to the car window and look up.
Yes?
You will note that the rooms above the club are lighted.
Yes. And the shades are drawn.
Mm-hmm. A moment ago, I thought I saw the shadow.
Francois, a man. A man just walked past that window.
Yes, madame. Look. A woman. Ah, a woman with a bottle.
And another woman. That makes three.
Ah. Madame, the shadow of that man you saw.
No, Francois. That was not Monsieur Talbot.
You did not recognize him?
From the shadow, no. But it looked like...
Yes, madame.
It looked like Saru.
Then I think perhaps we are on the right track. And, madame.
What is it?
The man there. Moving along in the shadows. Look.
Francois, you saw him?
Yes, madame. Even though his hat was pulled down. Wait. There. He's gone into the Club Sirene.
No, David. I wish I knew what to do.
Well, monsieur, you took your time getting here.
Yes, Jean, darling. We were about to call the police about a little matter of murder.
I told you on the phone I'd be a little late.
Yes, well, no matter. You're here. Did you bring the money?
No.
What? You didn't...
You'll get the money, Saru, but first I want to be sure of something. Madame Elaine, may I see that locket again?
Why do you want to see it?
Frankly, I want to make sure it is my picture with you.
Of course it is. We had it taken in Marseille just before you disappeared.
Something about the way my hair was combed. I want to be sure.
Let him see it, Michel.
All right. There. Now, what's wrong with it? See, your hair is parted on the left side, just as yours is.
Is this your picture, my friend?
Yes, it's my picture.
Well, then, now, about the money, and quickly.
The money is in the safe at my office. The money belongs to France, but I know no other way.
Where you get the money is your affair, but get it.
No, Saru, that I will not do.
Are you playing a game with
me? I must have some sort of protection for myself. So I figured it out.
Well?
You and I will go to my office. You will bind me to a chair and then take the money, only...
Only what?
It happens that there are 3 million francs in the safe.
3 million?
I was going to ask that you take only the 1 million francs that I owe you, but of course that would be useless.
Of course. Michel, wait here till I get back.
Francois, Saru's car is stopping in front of the foreign ministry.
Yes, madame. I see.
Don't get too close. They mustn't see us.
Very well, madame. Uh-huh. I'll park here.
They're getting out of the car. Can you see them?
Yes, madame. They're going up the steps.
of the Foreign Ministry.
David's office. The safe with all that money in it.
What, madame?
There's a great sum of money in that safe. Money that belongs to France. Money they're going to steal.
Madame?
Yes?
Oh, I must call the police.
No, no, you mustn't. Francois, you mustn't. Do you hear me?
Yes, madame, but if the money belongs to France...
No, Francois. Even if the money belongs to France. He's my husband and I love him. Even if he's a thief.
I know, madame. Also, he has always been kind to me.
Promise you will not call the police.
I promise, madame. Even if he is a thief. Madame, where are you going?
I'm going to his office.
Oh, but there may be danger. Allow me to go with you.
No, Francois. You wait here with the motor running.
But, madame, what are you going to do?
I don't know. But when I come out, Monsieur Talbot will be with me.
You're sure that this is the correct combination?
Yes, I'm sure. Keep turning.
All right. Aha. There. Now, if this is a trick...
I'll open the smaller inner cabinet.
Ah. You were not lying. Now...
You can use the attaché case in the safe.
Ah, yes. Yes, you were right, my friend. There is at least 3 million. There. There. Shall I leave the safe open?
Yes, we must make it look authentic.
Very well. Wait. Did I hear something?
Hear something? Hear what?
Well, I don't know. Listen. I thought I heard...
Please, Saru. Are you sure you've got me securely tied?
Yes, like a trussed goose. Well, my friend, I will now bid you adieu.
You have the money?
3 million francs, my friend. Wait. Didn't you hear something in the corridor?
No. No, of course not.
No? Well, then goodbye, Jean, my dear friend. By this time tomorrow night, I'll be far away.
All right, Saru, you're under arrest.
A trick, Jean.
Quietly, Saru, or we might have to hurt you.
Let me in. My husband is in there.
You'll suffer for this, my friend.
Please, my husband.
I'm sorry, Madame Talbot, but your husband is also under arrest.
Are these three all the prisoners, Sergeant?
Two more to come, Commissaire. The woman, Yvette Leduc, former actress, and the singer, Michelle Alain.
Madame Talbot?
Yes, Commissaire.
I hesitate to enter your name in the police books. Your family is among the finest in all France, but...
Commissaire, my wife had nothing to do with this.
She was in the hall way outside your office. At a lookout, perhaps.
No. What I did in an effort to protect my wife's name. She had no part of it. She was there to try to stop me.
Oh, David...
As you know, she got there too late.
Come on, you...
Take your hands off me. I've done nothing wrong.
Madame Michelle Alain.
I've done nothing wrong, I tell you.
The Leduc woman will be along, Commissaire.
Let me go, I tell you, I...
Please, Madame Alain, you're only wanted as a witness.
As a witness?
Yes. Do you know these two men?
Well,
now, come now. You were in court at the Leduc trial. You testified that this man, known as David Talbot, was really Jean Pelletier, the thief.
I know, but...
And you heard this man, Henri Saru... testify that Talbot was not Jean Pelletier.
Madame Alain was right, Commissaire. I am Jean Pelletier.
David, no. No, you mustn't say it.
I can't go on pretending any longer. Commissaire, I wish to confess.
David, no, please.
The clerk will take your statement. Go ahead.
I am Jean Pelletier, and on March the 25th, 1927, I participated in the robbery of a bank messenger in Marseille.
Get that clerk. Go on.
During the robbery, the bank messenger was killed. You will find his name in the police files. I participated in his murder.
Commissaire, no, it's not true. It can't be true.
I am sorry, madame.
But I can prove it isn't true. Please listen to me.
Very well, but briefly, please.
My husband couldn't possibly know about a murder on the morning he said.
And why not?
Because on that night he was injured in the wreck of the Paris-Marseille Express. Doctors can prove that he knows nothing whatever of anything that happened to him before the wreck.
I've heard that said of you, Monsieur Talbot. Do you remember taking part in the robbery and murder?
I don't actually remember it, but I was told about it.
By whom?
By my accomplices. By Monsieur Saru here, who helped me in the robbery and murder.
And?
And Madame Elaine, who drove me to the railway station after the murder.
That's a lie!
Madame, you deny it?
I never saw that man until the day I testified in court.
Michelle, shut up.
I won't shut up, Saru. This is murder. It means the guillotine.
You fool, let me do the talking.
You've talked long enough. Oh, yes. The perfect blackmail case, you said. It can't fail. Well, I'm getting out.
You fool. Can't you see that that's...
Quiet. Madame, you say that this man known as David Talbot is not the criminal, Jean Pelletier?
Of course he's not Jean Pelletier.
Oh, David, darling.
Jean Pelletier was killed in the train wreck, and the Duke and Saru took the papers off his body. They also saw that Monsieur Talbot being wrecked from that train, and they learned that he had amnesia, that he knew nothing of his past.
So you waited all these years to get me, eh, Saru?
They waited until you were in a position to pay off big.
All right, Sergeant. Put Saru and Madame Helene away for trial.
All right, you two. Come along.
Monsieur Talbot, you are due the sincere thanks of the state for what you have done.
For what he's done? David, what did you do?
He merely tipped the police to be ready when he and Saru went to his office. That's why we were waiting in the corridor, madame, and had to stop you as you came in.
But, David, you were so worried. You were frantic. How did you know...
I'd like the answer to that one, too. Saru obviously had spent years planning this crime to the last detail.
Well, until the last moment, I didn't know whether I actually was Jean Pelletier. In fact, I thought I was.
But how did you...
Well, this evening, as I was combing my hair...
Oh, yes, I saw you staring at me.
I realized that Madame Elaine's picture of me was a fake. The picture in her locket. You see, that picture was supposed to have been taken before the wreck, and in it my hair was parted on the left side as it is now.
Yes.
What Dr. Tessier has told me, remember, Lucien, that my hair was parted on the right side at the time of the wreck. He had to change the part to the left because of the scar on the right side of my head.
All right, come on.
Let me go, you pig. What's the meaning of this?
It's the Leduc woman, commissaire.
I'm Madame Pelletier, a harmless old woman. Oh, Monsieur Talbot, will you tell them they shouldn't disturb a poor old woman in the middle of the night?
Mother, I'm afraid you're a dead pigeon.
Oh, but all I want is my rest, my solitude.
You get it, madame. At least 10 years of it.
Oh, darling, is it really all over?
All over. And there's something to prove it.
Oh, David, please. Not here. Remember where we are.
Remember? But, darling, how can I have amnesia?
Rex Harrison will return in just a moment. At the end of these programs, Rex, it is a custom for us to have a brief interview with the star.
Well, the briefer the better, I should say, Howard.
Well, time is the master of all that. May I say that it is an honor and a pleasure to have you on the MGM Theater of the Air?
If only say what you mean.
We're extremely careful.
Well, it's a very laudable policy. I hope the listening audience appreciates it.
The listening audience is always appreciative because their listening is optional. They can turn us off at will.
I think they've probably got around to that already.
Well, you've entertained us for an hour, and I think we should let you go, however reluctantly. Thank you, Rex Harrison.
Thank you, Howard.
You have been listening to Crossroads, starring Rex Harrison. Adapted for radio by Wellborn Kelly. Original music composed and conducted by Joel Herron. The program was directed by Marx B. Loeb and produced by Raymond Katz. The supporting cast included Joan Wetmore and Eric Dressler. Ed Stokes speaking.